We are in a series on healing of the broken heart, and our key text is from the book of Luke chapter 4, which we'll read again, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And it's a quotation of Jesus from Isaiah, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So we realize that one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit coming down is in order to heal the broken heart. We all know that when we were born again, that the main purpose of our experience to be born again is not just a ticket to heaven. It's not that God wants us to be able to be assured that when we die on this earth, we will go straight to heaven. That is part of the promise, but it's not the only thing that God wants to do in our life. God wants especially to transform our life to His very image. And I cross-reference to the book of Romans 8. And this is our destiny. Now, we all may be called to do different things. Some of us are called to the professional world. Some of us are called to the various areas of the ministry. Some of us are called to various type of ministry work that God has placed in our heart. And whatever God calls us to do, He will enable us to do. Besides all these things, the most important destiny that God has for our life is the destiny to be like Christ. So I'll read to you from the book of Romans 8, which says here in verse 29 and 30, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." So we realize that we are all predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is a major goal in God's will for our lives. And so different circumstances may come into our life. And sometimes we are born or we grow up in different environments because God wants to bring the aspects of Christ in our life that He so desires. It is natural for man to want to have a life of ease, free from pain. But sometimes as a part of God's conforming us to His Christ-like image, He allows us to walk along the narrow path. And He knows that by walking through those paths, we will come through a stronger, more transformed person. There is no brokenness too difficult for God to heal. There is no pain too deep that the Holy Spirit cannot touch. There is no hurt so painful that God cannot heal without a scar. And that's what I believe. And we are considering in the Bible how God brings healing to the brokenhearted and to help us understand the purposes behind some of those events that take place. One of the struggles in each one of our life as we walk along God's will is to understand that He has not chosen for us a path that is necessarily easygoing, but He plans for each one of us different types of roads that would bring the best characteristic out of our life. And in fact, Sometimes when the not the best characteristics come out, it's because we haven't yielded that section of our life to God. And so this morning we want to consider some of the things in the Bible. And for today we want to look at a family, Joseph's family, and see the kind of pain and hurt they go through and how God was able to bring healing. Let's look at the book of Genesis. And Genesis chapter 37, where we begin to hear about the story of the life of Joseph. There is Jacob, and he has 12 sons. And among the sons that he had were Joseph. And this was not, remember, this was not a perfect family. It's typical of many families, they are imperfect. And the Bible tells us here in verse 2 and 3, this is a history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. And that in itself is not good. So you have a family, a gifted people inside, and then they have a bit of disharmony. And in verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. Now in verse 3, that was very wrong. Israel, who is also called Jacob, loved his children unequally. One of the things that God does not want in any family is that the children should be loved unequally. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, when God instructed how families are to function, there are interesting instructions in which sometimes in some families where out of God's will, a person has more than one wife and they have children through all those wives. And God says that the father was not supposed to treat them unequally. He was supposed to love them in the same manner and not to have favoritism. Why did Jacob practiced favoritism? Because he didn't know better. He passed on and behaved in the same manner as he had inherited from his parents. A lot of our brokenness in our life came as a result of the environment we grew up in. And subconsciously we absorb it, and subconsciously we pass it on without realizing. In fact, if you think about it, a lot of our action and reaction flows forth not from our conscious mind. Because if our conscious mind were in control all the time, all of us would be as Christ-like as we should be. But sometimes our subconscious takes control, and the way we treat people, we are being affected subconsciously. And that is where God needs to do a deep healing in our life. And Jacob grew up in a family that was imperfect. His name was, his father was Isaac. And you remember Isaac got married to Rebekah. And Isaac was, by the way, Abraham's son, only son. And so, when Rebekah was pregnant, she had twins. And the twins began fighting in the womb. Poor mother. They were wrestling, fighting in a womb. And Rebekah, just a little bit of history here, cried out to God because of this thing that was going on in her womb. Earlier on in the book of Genesis, and a little passage that we're going to look at is 24, Genesis 24. We find in verse 67, Isaac got married to Rebekah, and she became his wife. He loved her. Isaac loved Rebekah. And Isaac was comforted from his mother's death. And then in chapter 25, Rebekah could not have a child. And so in verse 21, Isaac, chapter 25, Genesis, verse 21, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled within her. So they were twins. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So there was a battle going on inside her womb. And much discomfort, I presume. So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. And indeed, when they came out, in verse 24, they were twins. But they were not similar twins. In verse 25, the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they call his name Esau or Edom. Later on, his descendants became the Edomites. Red. And so he was red all over. Red hair. And verse 26, his brother came out. That's Jacob. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel. That's very unusual. And as Esau was born first, there was Jacob holding on to his heel. And like they too have been fighting to come out. And he was a mild man, and he dwelt in tents. Verse 26, Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So you know how old they were in those days when they got married. Verse 28, and that is the imperfect part. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Rebekah loved Jacob, full stop. He didn't tell you what happened, but basically because Jacob was a houseman, help around the house. And so Rebekah loved Jacob. He was always around helping in the tent. And that was an imperfect situation. So Jacob grew up in a home where there was favoritism, and they constantly quarrel and fight. And of course, you know the rest of the story. It came to one point where Jacob stole the birthright from Esau because Esau despised his birthright. And then Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and Jacob ran away from home. And then all kinds of things happened. And it was a very sad life that they lived. Finally, today we read in Genesis 37, Jacob, who is known as Israel by now, and he has 12 sons. And not knowingly, he began to do the same thing to his sons that his father and mother had done.